I wanted to see something here. We live in a society that's becoming more and more negligent. You know, people just neglect from important things to unimportant things. It's just becoming more and more. It's easy to be negligent. Webster says it means not to heed, to ignore, or disregard, not to care for or attend sufficiently or properly. You know, it's easy to be negligent. I remember my brother telling a story when he was young. My parents had to go somewhere. He's 12 years older than me. I don't remember it, but. And so he was left, and one of his chores was to take care of the chickens. You know, they have to be fed and watered. Well, with the parents gone, I don't know, he got busy and forgot about the chickens. By the time my dad got home, I mean, the chickens were just croaking. You know, it was in summer, no water. And boy, he was in trouble. You know, just neglected his responsibility. And you think about what happens to a houseplant if it's neglected. I mean, it's doing fine, and just in a little while, it's drooping, its leaves are falling off, and it's dying. We've got some of those in our house. That, you know, it's just plain neglect. It's easy to forget about. It's what happened. You know, the highway department says, I was going to read that. It says, turn signal neglect is causing millions of crashes per year. It's probably more dangerous than distracting driving while doing some other things that we commonly think. Well, we're driving, we decide to change lanes, we just neglect to signal, and, you know, it can cause some problems. Brethren, might we fall into spiritual neglect? That would be where the real seriousness would be. We begin to fall into spiritual neglect. Over time, we've maybe been around a while, and pretty soon we just begin to let spiritual things slide. You know, we could lose salvation through neglect. We could lose salvation through neglect. You know, neglect probably starts out small. You know, it begins small and then it begins to grow. More definition is to treat as unimportant. Like, for instance, he neglected his clothes. You know, we begin to neglect certain things. We could begin to neglect our physical appearance. Oh, well, who cares? And same way spiritually, we begin to let our life slide spiritually and begin, not consciously maybe at first, to think about it as, oh, that's unimportant. I'll do it tomorrow. We could just start neglecting just plain hearing and listening to what God is saying, what the church is saying, and just begin to neglect just listening and hearing. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, it talks about hearing, listening. It says in verse 15, in Matthew 13, it says, for this heart has grown dull. It says, this heart has grown dull. I need to begin. Actually, in 14, He says, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. You know, we can come to the situation as the world is, hearing, but not really perceiving. In verse 15, for the heart of this people has grown dull. I believe we see here that the heart can grow dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Now, Jesus said, he that has an ear, let him hear. Lest they should understand with their heart and turn so that I should heal them. Verse 16 says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Are we still listening? Are we still hearing? I know sometimes we think, well, I've heard all of that. I've memorized the books of the Bible or whatever. I know the Ten Commandments. And so I don't really need to pay that much attention. The Strong's Concordance says that hearing, it means to give audience an understanding. You know, does it just come in one ear and out the other? Or are we giving it some understanding and listening to what's really being said by God? In verse 17, for assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Do we really appreciate what we're able to hear and understand? You know, I think back before God opened my mind, and maybe I might try to read the Bible. It made absolutely no sense. There was nothing that I, you know, first time I thought, well, I'll get a Bible and I'll just be able to understand it. It didn't make a bit of sense. You know, I might as well have been reading Shakespeare or something. I never understood that either. But you know, we can just start and forget what a blessing it is to hear and see. You know, my wife and I were baptized in 1967. And, you know, all these years, and I am amazed if I wake up and listen what I still don't know. It's unbelievable. I mean, I find something in the Bible, or I hear a sermon or a Bible study, and, well, I thought I knew everything in the Bible. Sure enough, I didn't. We have to keep hearing and listening. We can't neglect hearing. In Zechariah chapter 1, you know, this is a prophecy and a warning. In verse 4, it says, do not be like your fathers to whom the former prophets preached, saying, thus says the Eternal of Hosts, turn now from your evil ways and your evil deeds. But they did not hear nor heed me, says the Eternal. You know, you think about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. They were delivered from Egypt, from Pharaoh. They were baptized in the Red Sea. You know, they had, in symbolism, had left Satan and sin behind. And in no time, they no longer were hearing. And they fell back into even idol worship. It's unbelievable how fast people can become dull of hearing. You know, in verse 5 it says, your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? Yet surely my words and my statutes, which I command my servants, the prophets, did they not overtake your fathers? So they returned and said, just as the Eternal of Hosts determined to do to us according to our ways and according to our deeds, so shall he dealt with us. So we need to continue to pay attention. Where it says hear, it means to hear intelligently, diligently, and to discern. Oh yeah, I heard that word. I heard what he said. Are we really discerning and paying enough attention to understand? You know, to really pay attention is work. I mean, maybe I'm trying to listen to a Bible study or a sermon, maybe on the internet, and I find myself drifting away. And to really pay attention and discern is work. And it's concentration at that time. You know, how does the Bible apply to me? How do the sermons apply to me? You know? Or might we hunt for something we don't like about it? You know, well, I don't really care for that speaker. And it just kind of drifts by. You know, if you watch the Wednesday night Bible study from Cincinnati, Gary Petty, maybe you don't like his style. I particularly don't like his style. But you know, that guy is a great teacher. You know? I think, well, put the coffee cup down and do your sermon, you know, because he's kind of walking about. But you know, that's at a Bible study, it's not on Sabbath, could help set people at ease. And you know, and many people would be more receptive. So you got to pay attention to what's going on. What is the man saying? And how does it apply? And I don't know if how many of you can watch that on the internet, but it's a whole series leading up to the Passover. And I thought it's a very good Bible study. You know, but we need to listen and hear regardless of the particular person. You know, Paul said, people think, well, I'm of Apollos and I'm of this. And he said, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you. You know, you want to get attached to a certain personality or man. It's what is said. Of course, if someone's preaching heresy, well, yeah, we need to recognize that. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. You know, we need to listen and hear. We can't neglect that because, well, we've been in church a while, or I read that in a booklet, or whatever. We need to continue to pay attention. For other reason, to keep our mind going, maybe. But Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Which he's saying, stay close to God. And we have so much in this end time to help us to stay close to God. Because, God realized at this time, the way the world is and all the distractions, that we probably needed a lot of different things that we're able to tap into and to stay close to God. In verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. You know, exhort one another daily. And when we come to church, this is one of the blessings that we would have here when we come to church, in order to exhort and encourage one another. You know, just otherwise we could sit home and get a tape or dial up on the phone or whatever. No, this is one of the blessings, is to be able to come together and exhort one another while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Lest we be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And in verse 15, verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. We cannot neglect that. We have to continue to hold on that. Because as yet, you know, we've been forgiven of our sins and we can repent, but we're still sinners. We still have sin in our life that's ready to come forth without notice, it seems. Verse 15, while it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. As in the rebellion. And there's so many examples of the nation of Israel that just could not stay focused on God and obeying him. Of course, they did not have God's Holy Spirit. Verse 16, for who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Verse 17, now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? Here was people that was brought out of Egypt. God performed great miracles, and yet they would not enter his rest because they would not obey. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. No faith. See, and Paul was writing here to people who do understand. You know, that people that do understand, and that definitely includes us. You know, there's much to be explained in God's Word yet. You know, we can, it is possible for us to stop hearing. We just sit in services, we go to the feast, and we stop hearing. We stop, well, I've heard that. But you know, we haven't heard it all. Oh, thank you. He knows what to put in this too. Man. Wow, that ought to clear me up. So there's much to be explained. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5. Just maybe a page over or so in verse 8 to 11. We see that we can be dull of hearing. People in the church can be dull of hearing. Hebrews 5, verse 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. And having been perfected, and perfected would mean to complete or accomplish, consummate, consecrate, finish, fulfill. That was what Christ did. He fulfilled his work upon the earth. He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. You know, he subjected himself to death by becoming flesh. You know, perfected. He was perfected or complete. He accomplished, he consummated, he fulfilled. Author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, in verse 11, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. I mean, he's talking to the church. He said there's much yet to be explained. At times we think we understand it all. Oh yeah, I've got that. I've got that down, right? I don't even need to listen to that. But he said, there's much to be explained, but you have become dull of hearing. And I think all of us go through that at times. I know I do. We become dull of hearing. But that's not what we should be. We should be swift to hear ready to listen, and ready to apply what we know, as we see in James chapter 1, in verse 18. James chapter 1, verse 18. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creation. I think I'm in the right place, yeah. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Swift to hear. In other words, that's being we're eager to hear when we pick up the Bible, when we hear a sermon, when we go to a Bible study. We're swift to hear, even if we're pretty sure that we understand the subject. We're swift to hear. And I probably won't turn to Revelation 1:3, but it says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy." It says, "Blessed are the man that reads and hears the words of this prophecy and keeps those things which are written in it, for the time is near." Well, you say, that's been a couple thousand years and the time's not near. The time was near for whoever was listening at that time, and the time is near for all of us. We don't have that many days, even if we're young. In reality, we don't have that many days. The time is near. And as world events are occurring, the time is near for this whole world. You know, it says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear. So it's not just reading the Bible, it's hearing what the Bible is saying. I know there's people that read the Bible through once a year or, you know, many times in their life. But do they really hear? Well, if God's not opening their mind, of course, they can't. You know, we've got to hear. And we also need to speak. And that would be, we can't neglect prayer. As Mr. Nunn said, you know, it's a two-way street. We can just, somebody can apologize to us, but if we don't respond and reconcile, what good has it done? We can't neglect prayer. We can't neglect speaking to God. And I'm speaking every day. When we begin to neglect that, we're starting down a dangerous path. You know, well, I got up too late this morning. I'll double it up tonight or whatever. And then something else happens. I remember my wife and I talked years ago. We used to have Bible study, every other week or once a month, whatever. And one week, we just can't make it. We just won't go. And you know what? The next time it came, something happened and we couldn't go. And I've seen that. If you willingly neglect something, then it seems like it opens a door, something to happen to keep you from doing it next time. So to just neglect it, I feel is a dangerous path. You know, if Jesus needed to pray, I'd surely think that we need to pray. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5 again. I may have read this verse. I don't think I read this in the beginning. But the Gospels record Jesus praying many times. But in Hebrews 5 verse 7, "And in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear." You know, Jesus prayed if possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but your will. And that's an example of prayer. You know, we see things that are going to be tough. And yeah, we can cry out to God, you know, let me pass by this. Or let it pass by. But let God's will and not our own. The gospel records Jesus praying many times. And of course, we like to use the example of Daniel. If you would, we'll turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Here, Darius had been, he had been kind of coerced into making a decision that wasn't wise. And, you know, some of the other governors probably very jealous of here this Jew being made a governor, you know, one of the top governors. So they're trying to find something against Daniel. And they said, we can't find anything except concerning his law. In verse 4 it said, they sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was any error or fault. Found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And if we could live that kind of life where no one could find any fault on us except concerning the law of God, that's the type of person we'd want to be. So they came up with the idea of making the statue, and everybody has to bow down before it. And in verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Now, this wasn't something that Daniel just came up with, well, look, I'm going to show them that I pray. No, this was something he had been doing. And he continued to do. They knew they was going to catch him at that time. So Daniel prayed 3 times a day. He offered prayers and supplications, you know. That's something that was his life. He did not neglect that. He realized that that was his life. You know, Daniel understood also, you guys think about his position. And this was just an ordinary person might have been able to just go to their closet and do this, you know, and just lay low. But he understood his role as a leader and a prophet to set the example. People were looking to him. He was the governor. What will Daniel do? Well, if he would have maybe just stayed out of sight, he felt the obligation, I'm sure, as a leader and a prophet to set an example. And he did. He did not compromise under pressure. He continued to pray as his custom was. And he didn't, he also, I think, some good lesson here, if you'll turn to Daniel chapter 2. And in the announcements today, we were asked to do this. Daniel chapter 2, 17, verse 17. And Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men. Words, the point is, he went as we go, and we ask one another to pray for us and for other people. We have the prayer list for people that need healing. It's not just our prayer. We all ask one another to pray. You know, we send up prayers as incense to God as a group. And in Mark chapter 14, you know, Jesus warned us to watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. He's saying if we're neglecting prayer, we're setting ourselves up for some serious temptation. Mark chapter 14, verse 38. He says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. You know, the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. We can't neglect this. Or what's going to happen? Pretty soon we're not praying. Pretty soon we lost contact with God. Another point would be we can just plain be careless and neglect our own salvation. You know, we can't do that. Let's look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy in chapter 4 in verse 14. Just a point about neglect. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Well, that gift is God's Holy Spirit, and we're told to stir up that Spirit. In other words, to use it, to exercise using God's Spirit in control of ourselves. And the word neglect means to be careless of or make light. In other words, to neglect, to be negligent, or not to regard. So 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. You know, these aren't just like casual suggestions that God's making. No, these are warnings for people to pay attention. We can't be careless. You know, if we look in Luke chapter 7, we see what Jesus was facing. Luke chapter 7 and verse 30. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. And we're talking about John here. John the Baptist came baptizing. Many people went out and were baptized in the baptism of repentance. But it says the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. It says they rejected the counsel of God. Now, I don't know just how they did that, where this counsel of God came about. And the Lord said to what then shall I liken the men of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. They're just like children. They're just calling to one another. And it says, we played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not weep. You know, it wouldn't matter what happened. People wouldn't respond. You know, James Fawcett and Brown in the commentary, they say that they won't play with them at a wedding and they won't play with them at a funeral. It doesn't matter what we do, you don't respond. They rejected both John and Jesus. Of course, one was because he was too unsocial. You know, he just wasn't getting involved real socially with them. We don't want to follow him. You know, it's like we were mentioning certain personalities. Oh, I don't want to listen to him. He doesn't preach my style. Well, you got to listen to what he's preaching, whether it's the truth or not. So, because he was too unsocial, the other, he was too much the reverse. He was given, as they put it, to indulgence. They felt like Jesus was given to indulgence and consorting with the lowest classes of society. You know, we can't go with him because he's having too much fun and he's dealing with these undesirables. You know, the lower class. You know, pipe simply means to play the flute. Words. They're like children sitting in the marketplace, so forward and perverse that nothing can be found to please them. You know? Jesus said, I piped and you wouldn't dance. Some people always find something to find fault in. I just don't like the way he came across. I don't like that message. You know, I think he ought to have a necktie on. You know, get rid of the coffee cup. I can't listen to that. Whatever it is. You know, the church has many different ways to reach people. We have telecast. We have booklets. We have public Bible studies. We go to the prison. And very few respond. You know, we're piping this to dance. We're doing this like at a funeral. And it seems like nobody cares. So you know how Christ was feeling there. Very few respond. But, you know, we preach, but it seems like no one cares. But that doesn't excuse us from doing what God tells us to do. You know, Jesus preached for 3.5 years. And how many did he have? But then finally, the fruit started coming after he was already resurrected. You know, we preach and we may feel like, you know, we're pouring whatever down a hole and it's doing nothing. But we do what we can. And of course, when the church sees that something's not working, you know, we cancel good news subscriptions annually. People that don't respond, we don't keep pouring it down. But, you know, we do. We make us feel like, you know, we piped, you won't dance, you won't mourn. What else can we do? You know, we can neglect salvation. Very quickly, I'll turn to Hebrews chapter 6. Again, back over to Hebrews. Verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Shame would mean to expose to infamy, to make a public example. We can't neglect and fall into that where we're doing this. We must not neglect our calling. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9:24, I won't turn there, but I can read it. Do you not know that all those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. We cannot neglect these things of listening, of praying, and just taking care of our life spiritually. We have to stay close. You know, we cannot neglect our salvation. I would like to read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, in concluding this. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. Endurance is not neglect. The race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.